A report issued by the International Tribunal of Crimes of Church and State on September 5, 2017. A report on the continuity of genocidal crimes in Canada, an appeal to the people and governments of the world, based on evidence found at www.murderbydecree.com. Preamble. This report is written with the blood of countless Aboriginal children and of those who have died to bring the truth of their fate to light. It is the culmination of a 20-year citizen-led campaign to document, confront, and prosecute the deliberate genocide of non-Christian Aboriginal people in Canada by the Vatican, the British Crown, the Government of Canada, and the Roman Catholic, Anglican, and United Church. The evidence in this report is based on the sworn testimony of 358 survivors of the murderous Indian residential schools where over 65,000 children died between the years 1889 and 1996, and by exhaustive documentation found at murderbydecree.com, as well as the testimonies of eyewitnesses to ongoing crimes against humanity in Canada. It is something more than a miracle that this report has survived the many years of official lies, misinformation, violence, and intimidation waged by these churches and governments against their surviving victims and a handful of truth-seeking Canadians. Despite the enormous and unrelenting campaign of state terror waged against him since 1995, the former United Church clergyman Kevin Annett has been the mainstay and inspiration of this movement at the cost of his family, his livelihood, and his safety. If not for Kevin's unflagging devotion and courage and his heroic persistence against every imaginable odd, this report, as well as the limited compensation and acknowledgement offered by the Canadian government to Indian residential school survivors, would never have come about. We must also acknowledge the seven Aboriginal members of the ITCCS who have died at the hands of the police and others in the course of publicly surfacing this enormous crime and confronting the churches responsible: Chief Louis Daniels, Edna Phillips, Harriet Nahani, Harry Wilson, Johnny Bingo Dawson, William Coombs, and Ricky LaValle. Their memory and witness, along with the lives of 65,000 children and those who continue to disappear and fall, will always be honored. The report itself follows. 1. A master plan by the Vatican and the Crown of England, acting through the government and churches of Canada to exterminate domestic Indigenous nations, has been in operation since November 25, 1910. This plan was set in motion and maintained by the Crown of England and its Privy Council Office, and the Roman Catholic, Anglican, and United Church of Canada, along with the Royal Canadian Mounted Police, the RCMP, the judiciary, and private corporations. As a plan of deliberate church-sponsored genocide, it has been modeled on and tied to similar crimes by the Vatican against non-Catholic peoples across the world. 2. This Canadian plan consisted of a state and church-funded program of systemic intergenerational genocide based initially within the so-called Indian residential school system, modeled on a Jesuit program, and established with state approval and by order in council on July 1, 1920. That system killed more than half of the children incarcerated within it until it formally ended in 1996, or more than 65,000 children. It also served as the launching pad for a general campaign of extermination of the non-assimilated Aboriginal tribes, a campaign that continues to the present time. This genocide has accounted for the massive depopulation of more than 95% of the original Native nations, predominantly on Canada's west coast, a killing off of between 1 and 2 million people since the year 1850. 3. While the general aim of this genocide was the elimination of all non-Christian Native peoples, its associated purpose was the extirpation of traditional Indigenous kinship networks and the matriarchal clan mother system of authority that ensured Indigenous control over lands and resources. This was achieved by wiping out the Native family system and specifically traditional women and their children. That traditional system was in effect destroyed by the Indian residential schools between 1889 and 1996, along with the majority of Indigenous languages and traditional land bases. 4. Despite the phasing out of Indian residential schools after 1972, this genocidal plan intensified at the hands of different branches of the Canadian government and agencies like Catholic-run adoption and foster care groups. Every level of government and church in Canada has continued the active destruction of Indigenous families and their culture, including child welfare and family court systems, and the state-funded Aboriginal band councils themselves. The chiefs of these councils have played a key role in eradicating any lingering Indigenous identity or authority and control over traditional lands and resources. They also routinely engage in the terrorizing and exploiting of their own people, including through the trafficking and sale of tribal children. These so-called chiefs are doing these crimes at the behest and in the payment of the Canadian government and resource extractive multinational corporations from America, Japan, and China. 5. The expulsion of all remaining traditional native tribes from their West Coast lands assumed greater urgency as the 20th century closed, and the world demand for hydroelectricity, timber, minerals, and other British Columbia resources intensified. Consequently, the period since 1990 has witnessed a rapid escalation of violence against Indians and a return to the brutal methods of the early colonial period. By the 1990s, large numbers of Aboriginal families in northern British Columbia began disappearing at the hands of death squads manned by off-duty RCMP officers and local policemen, as well as third-party contractors hired by the federal government, its Aboriginal frontmen, and foreign corporations. 6. By 1995, when the incipient ITCCS campaign to expose residential school crimes began making headlines in the Canadian media, stories of these disappearances of Native families were also proliferating. Together, these exposures provoked a public misinformation campaign by the RCMP designed to conceal the extent and the nature of the disappearances. This information was only partly successful and prompted the Government of Canada to take firmer measures to erase any public awareness of the ongoing genocide of Native families. It did so by means of a secret government cabinet directive dated April 3, 1998. 7. This directive by the Liberal government of Prime Minister Jean Chrétien was launched barely 1 week before the opening of the first independent inquiry into residential school crimes in Canada, the United Nations-affiliated IRAM Tribunal held in Vancouver. The directive consisted of an official plan of state terror that was aimed at Aboriginal activists, residential school survivors, and the public campaign led by the future ITCCS North American Field Secretary, Kevin Annett, who organized the IRAM Tribunal. The Chrétien Terror Plan authorized the use of black ops methods of illegal monitoring, smears, disruptions, and violence against Kevin Annett and these targeted groups, including the elimination of individuals who held knowledge or evidence of genocidal acts by Canadian church and state employees. This cabinet directive was never revoked and has caused the death of at least 7 Native activists who have been assassinated by RCMP operatives since 1998, including members of the ITCCS network. 8. The cabinet directive in question was issued for implementation by the federal government to E Division of the RCMP in Vancouver in the first week of June 1998, just prior to the convening of the IRAM Tribunal on June 12, 1998. In fact, the disruption of the IRAM Tribunal was the first and primary goal of this state terror campaign, according to statements made by RCMP E Division Inspector Peter Montague, who led the disruption campaign. This disruption became especially active after the tribunal gave a public airing to the first reports of organized murder and child trafficking among northern British Columbia tribes by chiefs in the pay of the federal government. Another target of the state terror plan was the Gustavson Lake natives in central British Columbia, who, after defending the sacred burial lands of their people, were subjected to a covertly organized military assault and follow-up smear campaign by Peter Montague and the RCMP during that same summer of 1998. 9. It is important to note that this Chrétien State Terror Directive of April 3, 1998, was aimed at anyone who threatened to expose the historic and ongoing genocide of Native people. Between 2006 and 2012, 7 key eyewitnesses and prominent Indigenous activists of the ITCCS network in Vancouver and Winnipeg were murdered at the hands of this directive. Harriet Nahani, Johnny Bingo Dawson, Ricky Lavallee, Harry Wilson, William Coombs, Edna Phillips, and Chief Louis Daniels. In the process of its state terror campaign, the Chrétien directive disrupted and marginalized the movement to prosecute Canadian church and state for residential school crimes. But for many years, it also concealed the concealing or disappearance of Aboriginal families across British Columbia. For example, after the June 1998 tribunal had been attacked and neutralized by RCMP operatives, the same agents, under the direction of RCMP Inspector Peter Montague, performed a similar destruction of the community effort to identify the growing numbers of missing Native women across BC and in Vancouver's downtown east side. 10. This state-level attack on a genuine missing people's inquiry was prompted by the fact that by this point, in early 1999, startling new evidence began to surface that tied the identity of some of the present-day killers of Native people with men and women who worked in the Indian residential school system. In fact, our work has revealed that the present leadership of the Anglican, Roman Catholic, and United Church of Canada is either directly implicated in residential school-era crimes or is actively protecting those who are, and that these same predators are still engaged in the systemic rape, trafficking, and killing of children. It is therefore clear that a continuity of crime exists that spans decades and links the church-instigated residential school atrocities with the rape, torture, and disappearance of present-day natives, especially women and children. That is, the crime has never stopped and is being protected by the same unholy alliance of church, police, and government. This no doubt explains that trio's unrelenting hostility and sabotage efforts towards the ITCS campaign and its chief public spokesman and symbol in North America, Kevin Annett. 11. Our continuing investigations reveal that many of the men and women who trafficked, tortured, and killed children in the Indian residential schools and who are still preying on Aboriginal women and children are also members or affiliates of the elite Vancouver Club at 915 West Hastings Street in Vancouver. Their odious ranks include 3 Supreme Court judges, a battery of lawyers, church officials, and corporate officers, a former prime minister, a Catholic archbishop, and senior members of the RCMP and the Canadian military. Virtually all of these individuals are practicing members of the Anglican, Catholic, or United Church that ran the residential school death camps. Many of these men have also been identified by a former Canadian Security Intelligence Service operative as participants in the murderous Pickies Palace torture and snuff film ring, including 2 politicians who now serve in the Canadian Senate, former Vancouver Mayor Larry Campbell and Aboriginal puppet leader Patrick Brazeau. 12. The general purpose and consequence of this Chrétien State Terror Directive has been to protect these men and camouflage their links to the residential school era and to present-day corporate power brokers. But what cannot be concealed is the clear and direct connection between the highest levels of governmental, police, corporate, church, and judicial power in Canada and these deliberate genocidal crimes, as well as their ties to similar crimes in other countries. There is, for example, a clear and direct link between the Thailand and China-based organ and human trafficking industry and the disappearance of Aboriginal women in British Columbia. 13. By 2007, once these connections had been firmly proven by our campaign and by the growing testimonies of many Aboriginal eyewitnesses, the Conservative government of Stephen Harper relied on the still-operative Chrétien plan to put a final end to these exposures by placing a definitive spin and containment over the whole issue of past and present genocide in Canada. It did so through its own controlled in-house committee, an elaborate deception and obstruction of justice misnamed the Truth and Reconciliation Commission, or the TRC. 14. The TRC was modeled on a standard Black Ops misdirection campaign to create a false narrative on a crime by burying evidence, silencing eyewitnesses, discrediting truth-tellers, and exonerating the guilty. In partnership with the 3 churches responsible for the residential schools genocide and with the active compliance of the world media, the United Nations, and every level of judiciary and political power in Canada, the TRC buried the truth and the evidence of that genocide with remarkable ease and success. It did so in order to mask the continuance of that crime, especially among West Coast Native Nations. Accordingly, the TRC was followed closely by a second cover-up effort by the present Liberal government of Canada, known as the National Missing Women's Inquiry. 15. It is clear that this latest stage-managed inquiry is a further enactment of the CRATAM plan to eliminate all witnesses and evidence to Canada's final solution of its Indigenous population that began in 1910. The so-called Missing Women's Inquiry is operating through the very police agencies, including the RCMP, that are responsible for the killing of targeted Native women and their families, and that have concealed these crimes for many years. 16. Like the TRC, the Missing Women Inquiry operates through hand-picked government loyalists who lack any judicial power or mandate to bring charges against the guilty or conduct any genuine investigation. The pseudo-inquiry is actually halting genuine efforts to reveal the crimes and who is responsible for them, and the silencing eyewitnesses who dispute the official accounts of the disappearances. As a controlled stage show run by the very powers responsible for making Native women go missing, the inquiry is moribund, having released no report of any of its supposed findings in the over 2 years of its shadowy existence. We believe this is to ensure that the final destruction of Indigenous peoples and their land base will proceed with maximum profit to the corporate and governmental interests behind that destruction. 17. As proof of this is the burial and obfuscation by the inquiry of a key fact, namely that the West Coast disappearances are the result of specific racial and political targeting and are not random killings. This point was established by our own investigations as early as the spring of 2003. That is, the vast majority of missing Aboriginal women are from matrilineal clan-led families that traditionally control the resources and land bases of the different Indian nations. In short, their killing was in fact the deliberate political assassination of the remaining traditional leaders of West Coast tribes, whose resistance stands in the way of resource-hungry corporations. In that sense, these latest murders are simply the continuation of Canada's long tradition of overt extermination when it comes to Indigenous people and their leaders. 18. These crimes have a darker aspect, involving satanic ritualism that the Iram Tribunal documented in June 1998 during its inquiry into the Indian residential schools. The so-called Ninth Circle, a Catholic sacrificial cult formed in the 17th century by the Jesuits and still in operation under the directives of the highest level of the Vatican, functioned in the Canadian residential schools from their inception. The routine trafficking, torture, and sacrificial murder of children was practiced in the Anglican, Catholic, and United Church Indian schools, and it implicates senior members of the government and the British royal family and these churches. The same Ninth Circle continues to kill with impunity today, including on West Coast Native lands heavily endowed with valuable resources. It is evident that the same forces traditionally behind the theft of Aboriginal lives and lands continue to ritually kill and traffic Native children. 19. Behind its mask of beneficence, as epitomized by its fresh-faced spin-doctoring Prime Minister Trudeau, Canada is a closed and repressive society that is actively exterminating the remaining traditional Indigenous people within its borders. It is doing so according to its foundational genocidal program of 1910 and the 1998 CRATAM Black Ops Directive, and with the act of collusion and in the interest of mostly Chinese and American resource corporations. 20. As a state-led campaign, this culmination of the Canadian genocide has judicial sanction, as is evident in not only the refusal of any Crown Court to prosecute any person or agency for genocidal acts, but by the act of victimization by the same courts of anyone who exposes these crimes. In short, there is no avenue for relief or justice for survivors of this genocide within Canada or in the agencies of the United Nations, which have turned their back on the reality of this ongoing crime by Christian and corporate Canada. 21. Accordingly, it falls on the global community to stand upon international law and bring political and economic sanctions against Canada, the Crown of England, the Vatican, and their church and corporate associates for their proven crimes against humanity. Canada and these powers are rogue bodies whose actions threaten not only the innocent, but the sovereignty and peace of all nations. This threat is evident in the continued standing policy known as crimen solicitanus within the Roman Catholic Church, that subverts child protection laws and the power of sovereign governments by requiring that every Catholic in the world protect in-house child abusers and conceal child abuse and trafficking from the police. The Anglican Church of England is governed by the same policy, as will any non-Catholic church that reunifies with the Roman papacy, according to the One World Church plan of the convicted war criminal Jorge Bergoglio, alias Pope Francis. Since its enactment in 1929, Crimen Solicitanus has encouraged and caused the systematic murder of children in Canada, America, Ireland, Croatia, across Europe and around the world to continue unchecked. As long as such institutionalized criminality against children is allowed to legally operate, no country can claim to be protecting its own citizenry or its own lawful sovereignty. 22. There is a clear moral and legal obligation of sovereign nations to restrain and punish proven criminal regimes like Canada, the British Crown, and the Vatican. We therefore call upon nations to do so, using their full police, military, and legal machinery. We are especially directing this call to President Vladimir Putin, his government, and the people of Russia, and all countries outside the Western Bloc. 23. Specifically, our ITCCS directorate and its affiliates in seven countries ask that these governments undertake the following actions: to commence comprehensive economic and political sanctions against Canada, England, and the Vatican as convicted genocidal regimes, including by seeking their formal censure and expulsion from the General Assembly of the United Nations, and by imposing a trade and tourism embargo on these powers, and by dispatching peacekeeping forces to Canada to protect Aboriginal eyewitnesses, targeted families, and ITCCS activists who are confronting these crimes, and to arrest convicted and suspected war criminals in Canada. Also, to dispatch professionally trained forensic teams to assist in the uncovering and analysis of crime scenes and mass graves at the site of former Indian residential schools and Indian hospitals across Canada. And finally, to convene domestic and international courts of justice to indict and prosecute these individuals and corporate institutions responsible for these and other crimes against humanity. We also call upon the citizens of the world and of Canada to commence their own direct community sanctions against these governments and their churches in accordance with the Nuremberg Principle that compels citizens to neither fund nor cooperate with proven murderous regimes or organizations. These sanctions include denying taxes and any funds to these governments and to the Roman Catholic and United Church of Canada, performing citizens' arrests against known or suspected child-raping clergy and their accomplices, and peacefully seizing the property and wealth of these churches as convicted transnational criminal organizations. In the weeks ahead, our delegation will be bringing this appeal and our evidence to the people, government, educators, jurists, and media of the world. Those of us who have revealed and confronted these crimes within Canada have been assaulted, harassed, imprisoned, and censured by every level of government, the police, and the courts, and we've been prevented from operating freely within our own country. Seven of our comrades have died from foul play at the hands of the police and others. We are therefore bringing this truth beyond Canada's borders for the sake of the army of innocents who have died and will continue to die if justice is not done. Here we stand. We can do no other. Issued today, September 5th, 2017, by the ITCCS Central Directorate, and with the endorsement of elders of the Anishinaabe, Mohawk, Cree, Métis, Cowichan, and Squamish Indigenous nations across Canada, and by ITCCS affiliates in Canada, America, Ireland, England, and Serbia. You can see the entire transcript, including the footnotes and sources, at www.itccs.org. We thank you.